Father, how awesome it is that we get to come before your throne with a boldness that we can because we're your children. It's such a thing that we look at and we always seem to take so much for granted that we have direct access to the Almighty and all-knowing Creator of everything. And we just thank you for that. That's something that seems so far out of reach or out of touch, but something that in reality is right here in front of us. So we just thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for giving us the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to make sense of things in our life when we can't make sense of them, and to make sense of the things that you're trying to do within us that seem impossible or seem hard to do. We just thank you for giving us that helper, that option to be able to make it through this life that we walk. We just, again, thank you for our freedom. And that is also something that we look at our flag and we see the beautiful colors of the red, white, and blue, but so often we take it for granted of what it truly means and what was sacrificed and what was lost to become a nation that we've become. And as we turn the news on and we look at our news feeds, we see that freedom and that liberty slipping away ever so quickly. And that is not something that you've designed a nation to be. You've designed a nation to be free, to be set free, and have you be the judge and the ruler of the nation. And we see that is ever so fastly just slipping away, and we pray for this nation. We ask that you just hear our prayers, that you can use us, use your word. It's your word. You're in control. You know what's happening in this world. You see it from the start. You see it at the end. You see where we're at right now in this life, and we just ask that you hear our cry out to you, that you come back into this nation, that through us we can make a difference in showing people the truth of who you are, and that the truth is you don't change, and that your word has always stood and it's always been here, and the things that have happened and the things that are written in the Bible are truth, and it's our job to be able to help convey that to people with your power. So we just ask that you give us the courage to stand up and fight for this nation, because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to take Facebook posts and Instagram posts and rants and raves. It's going to take work, and that's what you've designed us to do. You've designed us to keep our hands busy, to keep our feet moving, and to keep the gospel flowing forth from our mouth. So we just pray that you give us all the courage to be able to stand up and stand firm and be able to do that in a time that it's going to be tough to do. We just continue to pray for our direct environment that we're in with our small community that's still dealing with hurt and pain, with loss over the last few weeks of all the people that have went on to whatever you had before them, that there's still questions and they're still hurt and they're still trying to adapt to whatever normalcy will look like now without their loved one. We just pray that you can comfort those people like only you can. There's only so much we as human beings can do to comfort one another, and the rest is up to you. So we just pray that you reach down and you truly touch them and comfort them and just give them a peace and a joy that only you can provide. Father, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit may just run rampant throughout me, that it may just run rampant throughout everybody sitting in this building or wherever they may be when they hear this, that the Holy Spirit will be unleashed and will work in their life. Make it not be my will or my words that are said this morning. Let me just be a vessel used to convey the words that you wrote, the words that you spoke. It's you that is conveying the words that need to be heard and need to be said. So, Father, I just pray that you help set my selfish and motives and arrogance aside and just let you speak forth. And the distractions that we carry throughout our week, anything that's happened in the past or anything that's looking forward or that we're looking forward at that seems to be a troublesome spot, you know what's going to happen in that situation, Father, and you know what happened in the past. So let us just turn our cares over to you. They're meant to be shared with your yoke. You're meant to pick up that yoke and carry it and take it and make those burdens no more. But it's our choice. It's up to us to be able to turn those burdens and those situations and problems over to you. So I pray that we can just do that this week, that we can turn those over to you as we sit here this morning. I just pray that any distraction that's on our mind can just be gone. And it's just time that we have to focus and fellowship and learn and just be indwelt with the Holy Spirit and just abide in you. And if we do that, you'll speak to us. Your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and you'll show that to us. So I just pray that we can do that this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so immutability is unchangeableness, the quality that renders change or alteration impossible. It's invariableness. So change and impossible, a change or any variation is impossible with God. That's the main whole picture of everything, that God cannot change. If you just want to pack up and be done now, you go out and you say that God cannot change. That is the gist of what we're going to talk about this morning. It is impossible for God to change or have any variation in who He is. Therefore, we don't have to question what He says or what He has wrote down. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to do a lot of bouncing around this morning. We're not going to kind of be in one main area, so it's going to be a lot of bouncing around. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And there again, we want to, when we're studying words or studying the character of God, we want to be able to find in Scripture where God says that. So you know that it's just not me standing up here trying to convey something that I believe or something that I think, but we're going to show that it's true in Scripture. So James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow." We're going through the book of James on Thursday nights, and surprise, surprise, they tie together with what we're talking about. And a couple things to look at within this verse in James is that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Sometimes what we think is good, if it is produced by us, it's not. The only true good can come from God. So that's kind of just a straight line or kind of a checkpoint that you can have in your life. If it is something good that you declare is good, is it not? It's not necessarily what God may design as good, because every good thing comes from God above. So, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So a shadow. This ties right back into what we talked last week about omnipresent God being to be everywhere. There's no shadow. God cannot have a shadow because He's omnipresent, and nothing can stand in His way, thus blocking the light, creating a shadow. And that's kind of a cool thing in that verse that you can think of, that God is everywhere, therefore there's no shadow. His light shines forth everywhere, not even allowing a shadow to take place. So, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. "God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it?" What are we used to with people? Does that verse make you want to be better with the words that come out of your mouth? When you read that verse and you think of your life and the things that come forth from your mouth, how does that verse kind of make you feel? "God is not man that He should lie, or son of man that He should change His mind." What are the things that are coming forth from our mouth? Do lies? Do things that change? Do we not do the things that we say we're going to do? Where is our integrity? Will or do people trust what you say when we continually change it? God has integrity. That's part of unchanging. And that is one thing that we all will not argue with, that is lacking in this world is integrity. That is lacking in the leadership in this nation right now is integrity. Nobody will stand upon the truth. They know the truth. They've been confronted with the truth, yet they don't have the integrity or the backbone to stand upon that truth. How many times in the last 3 years of all the stupid political commercials that we all have to put up with and hear and on the radio, the TV, whatever it is, do you hear a promise from some politician, whether it be Republican or Democrat? It doesn't matter. How many times do we hear something and then yet they get to Washington and nothing changes? Where is the integrity? That's what we're used to. That's why it's hard sometimes to picture God as not being able to change. That's why it's hard sometimes to trust the Bible, because we're used to man or somebody telling us something, but then yet them doing the total opposite. But that's not God. That's not who God is. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Another translation said, I have drawn myself towards you. God has continued his faithfulness. He can continue his faithfulness because he doesn't change. Everlasting love. When it says that God has loved us with an everlasting love, that's a loyal type of love. Romans 8:39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, because God is unchanging. See, the God not being able to change makes everything valid. It takes everything that we've learned about the last 8 weeks and makes them true and makes them trustworthy, because God can't change. It's not in his character to be able to say, yes, it falls right in line with justice that God is fair and that he can't be unfair, because he can't tell us one thing and then go change his mind about it an hour or a day later or a month later or a year later or hundreds of years later. It is what it is. So therefore, that gives us our standard of what right and wrong is. So unlike people that we're used to, we change all the time. We are moved here, tossed there, blown this direction, whatever our emotions tell us to do. We're going through just kind of the introductory thing at basic right now with the kids at the high school. And it's always, there's two things that you're basing your life off of. And it's either truth or it's either emotions. You either base your life off of truth or emotions. That's because we're human beings. That's not God. God is truth. We're going to see that next week, that God is truth. God bases himself off of truth and being true. The truth is, his love is everlasting. It means he's never left us. Christ's death on the cross is proof of his love, and nothing can separate you from Christ's presence. So, a different way to kind of look at immutability is you take out the word mutability. What is mutability? If God is opposite of mutability, what is mutability? And the words that I'm going to read, hold them on this side and hold God's character on this side. And I think it blows God into a whole different picture of unchanging. So mutability is changeableness. It's susceptible to change. The quality of being subject to change or alteration, either in form, state, or essential qualities. The state of habitually or frequently changing. Changeableness as of mind, disposition, or will. Inconsistency, instability. Is any of those God? If we say, instead of just saying, God cannot change, what if we say God is stable? God is consistent. God won't change his mind. God can't change his qualities. It makes more sense on the fact that God can't change. Instability is something that a lot of us have in some aspect of our life. And it all turns back kind of to integrity. Integrity and instability can kind of play together to the point that with no integrity, you've been burnt somewhere. You've been burnt by somebody with no integrity, which therefore causes you to have instability in some fashion or form in your life. So if you look at God as being stable, that is how, when I got done looking at this, that was my overall theme or thought of God not being able to change, is that He's stable. Because we have nothing in this world right now that we can turn to that is stable. Every environment that we're in, everything that we deal with, what do we say? We don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I'm having a good day so far, but I don't know what it's going to bring. Or whatever. There's no stability in our days. No matter if we have our day planned out hour by hour, we can all do that, and we all know that something will change. Something will get thrown at us that's not a normal or a standard. But that normal or standard in our life is God. That stability. So you look at like a mutation, and this is all we're going to kind of tie together. A mutation is the act or process of changing. The change, alteration, either in form or qualities. Mutations are things that take on other forms, and they adapt and modify to different conditions and environments. And we all know that. I mean, not just because of the virus, but you look at in all the past viruses, diseases, and all that, they all take on different forms. They all mutate into different strains and all that. We know something that has adapted to an indifferent environment than what it originally started with. We all can think of something. So with that being said, contrary to what many Christians say today, many leaders of churches, many pastors of churches, many church denominations that are out there, the Word of God cannot mutate. It cannot change. It cannot adapt to a certain environment. God has not and will not adapt to any past society. He cannot and will not adapt to a current society. He cannot and will not adapt to a future society. He is what He is. No one or no group of people can change, mold, or mutate God into what they think He should be, or what He should act like, or what He is okay with. God's Word, the Bible, cannot be changed. It cannot be altered or adapted to fit a certain fad, a certain society, a certain opinion, a want. Since God is unchangeable, His Word stands forever as it was said and as it was written. It's not going to adapt to today. Just because people want to push an agenda and make themselves feel like they can get away with something, God can't change. What God's Word has said is true, it's truth. If I want to take that and try to make that adapt to my life, I am wrong. I can't take God's Word and make it mutate and turn into something that I want it to say, or that I want it to try to convince people to do this or to do that, or it's okay to act this way. If God says that it's true, it's true. God is the standard of right and wrong. We cannot manipulate God's Word. There again, because He's unchanging. If we were able to manipulate and change God's Word, what stability do you have with anything in your life, with any of God's promises? God's promises would mean nothing. Because what if He would be able to change His mind, if He was frequently changing His mind? So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 through 25. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Certain things and fads come and go. We can all see that. Just in our lifetime, we see when certain moves and motives and cultures try to change and adapt and do things. Scripture is over 3,000 years old. Try to fathom that. We can't even... I mean, how can you... Seriously, unless you truly believe... This is the ultimate proof that Jesus Christ is who He says He is and God is who He says He is, because this book has not changed for over 3,000 years. 3,000 years. We can't have any truth or anything change for a month. But yet, you're saying all of these books, all of this stuff has not been changed or destroyed in over 3,000 years? What more proof do you want? That is the proof that God is real. How would a book full of letters not disappear? How would the original copy not get destroyed? That's the physical truth. Look at how many times Satan has tried to destroy things. And yet that Bible still survives. But then here's the flip side of it. If we start to live in a society, in an environment, in a world where this becomes illegal for you to own a Bible or to possess a Bible, do you have enough of that information in your head to remember God's promises, to stand upon when you need them? That's a challenge. So, Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word, O Lord, is everlasting. It is firmly fixed in the heavens. So our question always is, what benefit is it to us that God cannot change? If God cannot change, so what? What benefit is that for me? What do I need to do in my life? How can that affect my life? How can that make my walk better? How can that make the race that I run endurable? What does it do? Like I've said so many times this morning, our environment is continually changing. We're watching things change that we can't believe right in front of our eyes. And we need stability. That's what we need. The world needs a standard. It needs a straight line to set things plumb. You've all seen a level, I'm sure, at one point in time, used one, seen one, whatever. So like if you lay a pipe in the ground and you need it to flow a certain way to work like it's supposed to, you set a level on it to see what direction that needs to flow. How will that pipe work if things are out of level? It won't work. It's going to cause an issue. It's going to back up and cause a bigger issue. And then you're going to be tearing toilets out and tearing the floor up in the basement, right, Dale? Things that are out of level or out of plumb will cause a problem. And at first, what starts as a little problem will continue to back up and back up and back up and back up until you can see where it's going, until you have a mess of crap everywhere. That's our life. If we don't have a plumb line, if we don't have a level or a standard in our life to follow, you're guaranteed that you're going to have a backed up mess. It will come. It may not be immediately. It may take a while. But when it hits, it's going to hit and it's going to be a mess. So another question to ask is, why do things change so often? Why do things change so often? Because people are always searching for something right. When we have 3,000 years worth of the answers right here. But we always got to try to change it. We always got to try to change it, to adapt it to what today says is okay. We always have to change it to what our culture says is acceptable. We don't have to change it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Not only a guide, but it's a good guide. Because a guide will take you places. But if you're walking in the dark, that guide still leads you. Is he more effective when he can see and you can see? God's not only a guide in our life, but he's a light to be able to shine so we can see what we're getting into. How pain-free would it be walking through a forest in darkness with no light? There'd be a lot of pain. You'd be tripping. You'd be stumbling. If anybody's ever walked in a forest without a light or a flashlight, it's darker in the timber than it is outside. It is pitch black. It is dark. Especially after a storm. I mean, that's funny how it all relates together. A storm, we have our derecho. We have timbers that are no longer the same. You have trees, you have crap, trash, and stuff down everywhere. How safe would it be to walk through that timber right now, after that storm, in the dark, with no light? It's going to be very hard to do, let alone you ain't even going to find a path to be able to stay on a path. So what about a lamp? What happens when the fuel, or you take a flashlight and have batteries, or you take a lamp, you have oil or batteries in a flashlight. What happens when they run out? Or what happens when they start to dwindle and dim? We've all had flashlights where we know, well, I'm starting to lose my power and my battery because my lights are going dim. How do you feel when they start to run low? Do you have confidence that more oil for your lamp or new batteries for your flashlight will fix them? Yes, we do. Because that's what they're designed to do. My little girls that somehow survived the Schnorr family, we have a little Gatorator, we call it. The little girls call it. One of them battery-powered little gators. When they're running around all throughout the yard, eventually the battery dies. So what do? We take the battery, we take it out, we get the one that's sitting on the charger, take that one, put it in, plug it in to the machine, take the dead battery, and plug it into the charger. And away we go. We don't question it because we know that's what the battery is designed to do. Is the Word of God your battery in your life? That is what it is designed to do. That silly picture of a battery is exactly what the Word of God is in our life. When we start to run dim, when we start to run low, or we are in complete darkness, where do we turn? Do we keep stumbling forward in the dark, tripping on every log and hole or ravine or whatever it is in front of us? Or do we get new batteries so we can see what's in front of us? So we are walking and we're being guided through our problems, through the darkness that we live in. That's what the Word of God is to do. God just told us that. That's not me. Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That analogy ain't me. That's God. We all wake up and complain and ridicule how this nation's being run and how this world is. Do you pray about it? Do you pray for this nation? Do you start your day with Scripture? Do you take a lit lamp and go out your door? Or do you go stumble around in the darkness all day and wondering why you're tripping on so many things and wondering why you fell in so many holes that day? Are you utilizing God's Word as a lamp to your feet? Just like the Word of God is designed to recharge us and take us throughout our life, without the Word of God lighting the path through our life, we are guaranteed a rough walk down the path or a rough time even staying on the path. Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. There's the answer. That's it. We all complain. We are so fast to complain and blame things on somebody else. And there's the answer. Do you want peace? Not even peace. He says great peace. I want great peace. Because great peace obviously is better than regular peace. I want great. How? Trust in God, who alone stands above all the pressures that our daily life gives us. That's full assurance of the things that we face. How can we face the things with the assurance that He will take care of us? How do we know that God is legit and that we don't need to question Him? Because He cannot unchange from all the promises. All of that stuff that we just read in Psalms about Him being a light to our path so we can see where we're going. Well, sorry, Michael, God's not going to be your light today. Sorry, Bob. Darley, you get it today. You think God can change and pick and choose who He's going to be light for? No. You are a child of God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God, and God provides you with the biggest mag light walking through that forest that you can hold on to. And He's your endless supply of batteries. Will there be adversities? Obviously, yes. Will we be physically challenged? Yes. Will we be emotionally challenged? Yes. But what does God say? Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God doesn't change, so stand upon that promise of what that verse says. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You're called according to His purpose. Don't fight that verse. You're called according to His purpose. Therefore, He will take everything good, everything bad, every circumstance in your life, and He will turn around and He will use it for good. Not me. I didn't say it. It's right here. And God doesn't change. And we're going to learn that He's truth next week. You either believe it or you don't. It's that simple. When the Bible talks about, Paul talks about childlike faith, quit trying to overthink things so much. Just believe it. He said it. It's that simple. We're so used to have to do our walk by proving things and proving ourselves. Yet we don't have to. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are called according to His purpose. You now have a new perspective on life. You have a mindset to trust in God, not upon earthly treasures, because your security is in heaven. It's not on earth. Your faith in God does not waver while walking down the path. Because why? Because He's our guide. What did we learn last week? He goes before us. The trail's already been blazed. So you have somebody that's blazed the trails, you have somebody that's guiding you, and you have somebody being your light on that path. You know God is with you, and He will guide you and protect you until the day you are face to face with Him. And He promised to use whatever situation looks impossible He promised to use it for good. That should change your mind. That should change your daily race that you have. We're going to finish up the essence of God next week with veracity, which is truth. That God cannot lie. God is truth. His word is true. But this all ties together. Everything that we've talked about ties together. How can we trust anything if it changes? There are certain things in life that are a standard or a constant, meaning they don't change. One that popped up to my head is a tape measure, measurements. If I need a piece of lumber that's 3 foot and 4 inches long, and I take a tape measure and I measure it, and it only measures 3 foot one, I can't change it. I can't change what that tape measure says. I can't take that marks on the tape measure, and I can't stretch them. I can't take that board, and I can't stretch it. That tape measure is a standard. It's a constant and a standard. No matter how bad I want to change the Word of God to fit my life, I can't, because God's Word is true, and it's a constant. It doesn't change. See, we expect God to walk our walk. We talked about this Thursday night. I'm going to repeat that. We expect God to walk our walk. He can't change His nature to walk our walk. We must leave our walk and enter His walk. To abide in Him, we can't be abiding in ourselves. Our environment is always changing, but God's isn't. God unchanging gives us the truth and stability we need in our life. If God is not our stability, we are relying on our own power. I'll be the first one to shoot up my hand and say that that won't work, because I've tried it for many years. That's the key today. That's the key for tomorrow. And that's the keys for the rest of the days that you walk this earth. All of God's characteristics that we've studied in the last 8 weeks are a constant. They're a standard. They're truth, and they're stable. They remain the same, and that is what gives us our stability in life. God's sovereignty. God's in control of everything. God's righteousness. The Lord is gracious, pure, faithful, holy, honest, perfect, and full of compassion. He can do no wrong. God's justice. He is fair, and what He does is fair. God's love, which allowed Him to let His own Son be the Redeemer of mankind. Eternal life. God has always been and always will be, and then always looking at our eternal perspective. God sees the big picture. Have you ever thought that God may allow troubles in your life because He doesn't just look at you with a microscope? He doesn't just look at the very little tiny piece. He looks at the whole entire big picture. And He can see eternity, what that situation that you're in, what that problem that you're in, what that situation that you're in. If you're a child of God, you're what? Romans 8:28 said what? That He can use that situation for good? Maybe you won't see that good on this earth. Maybe that situation, the good from that situation, you might not get to see that. But it might be your body laying in the casket that allowed the gospel to be said so other people were able to hear the love of Jesus Christ. that's how you played a part in it. And maybe if that happens, your family, it's going to be hard for them to see it that way. But sign me up. If it takes me laying in a casket to change the world around me, so be it. Eternity is far greater than what this world is. Omniscience. God is all-knowing. Omnipotence. God is all-powerful. There is nothing that He cannot do or accomplish. This power is what holds Him true to His characteristics. We say, I don't get it, God. How can you not change? How can you be loving all the time? How can you be fair all the time? How can you be righteous all the time? That's because He is all-powerful. He isn't weak like we are. He is powerful enough to keep Himself in control. The omnipresence. God is everywhere and in everything. Veracity, we're going to look at next week, is His truth. And all He says is, and did, and all He does is truth. These all turn into something that we can't put a value on. When you look at the characteristics of God, and you look at those words we just read, we cannot put a value on them. That is how important they are. They're real truths about God. These are truths that we can hold on to, making this so-called life have a purpose. Have you ever walked around wondering what we're doing? Why we're doing it? If God was always changing, if He was mutable, like we looked at in the beginning, if He was always changing, every single characteristic we just read would be invalid. Do you want to question your eternity? Do you want to question whether or not Jesus Christ truly hung on that cross? Do you want to question whether or not God is fair? Do you want to question whether or not God is in control of this world? I don't, and I don't have to, because I know that God doesn't change. And if He said that I get to spend eternity with Him forever and ever, if I believe that Jesus Christ was my Savior and that He rose from that grave, I can base my life upon that fact, that standard, because God doesn't change. So the last thought, God cannot change, but people can. God can change your heart if you truly want it changed. If you truly want to change, God will change your heart. Ask Him. How many more promises are in that Bible that God has spoken? That God has written, that He says to those who are His children, He will give them the desires of their heart. Ask for change. If you have struggles in your life, if you have things that you're dealing with that you don't feel like you can overcome and that you feel like are controlling your life, ask God to change your heart. We can change, but God can't. Father, we just thank You for the standard that You are. We thank You for giving us that plumb line to be able to walk. We thank You for blazing the trail, for guiding us through the path, for giving us the light as we walk through our day, as we walk through the evil that we're surrounded with, the darkness that we live in. Father, we thank You for being there for us. We pray that we don't let our emotions take hold of us, but that we rely on our truth, Your truth, the truth that You're with us and that You promise to withhold us and uphold us and walk through this battle side by side with us. That's what it's going to take. If we truly want to change our life, it takes us making the choice to turn our life over to you. So, Father, I just pray that we're able to do that. That we're able to take our life and the things that we want, the things that we think are right, the things that we think need to be ran a certain way, that we try so hard to accomplish, but yet are so tired of continually failing, that we can just turn all that over to you. Change our hearts to be one who is after your own heart. That's what you've designed us for. You've designed us with a hole in our heart that needs filled, and the only thing that can fill it is you. Let us do that. Let us take your word, let us intake it, and let it shine forth to light up our day, to light up our path, to light up the days of those around us. There's so many people that are trapped in evil and in darkness that just want truth. They're tired of seeking out something that is right. They want a change. We were born for such a time as this. That time may be now. That time may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be sometime this week, that you put us face to face with a person that needs to know who you are. So, Father, I pray that we see that situation when it arises. I pray that you use us as a tool and a vessel, not arrogantly for our own gain, but your eternity gain. To make heaven more crowded is what we're here for. That's what we want to do. So, Father, I just pray that you give each and every one of us the discernment and the ability to stand firm in the situation when it arises. Father, I just thank you for this church and this building and all of us who are able to call it home in a church. And we're able to do that because of the finances that you provide. We're able to keep the lights on, be able to keep the air conditioning running, to be able to keep Bibles coming in for the kids. We're able to have kids downstairs in a building that is a safe environment. So, Father, I just thank you for that and for the offering. I pray that we continue to utilize it for growth of your kingdom. And however that looks, you know. So, Father, we just thank you again. In your son's name we pray. Amen.